Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and start. First of all, I'm going to go around and let everybody introduce themselves, tell who you are, and what chapter you belong to. And I know we have a first-timer at our table who doesn't belong to a chapter, but he lives not too far from Alameda, so he should talk to you folks up there and find out which chapter is closest for him. So I'll let him introduce himself first. Oh, I'm Artis Bazin. Sorry.
Okay, Brian McCallan. I'm from Livermore, California. I have retinopathy of prematurity, and I've had it since birth.
Artis, just really quick. I have a microphone over here.
No, so there's one over there.
There's over okay, one. Cool. One over here. So.
Cool. So we can use two of them.
Right.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll finish my table, and then you can have your table and use
it just
that
makes
one.
It easier.
Oh, yeah, it does. Don't have to run around as much.
Kevin Berkery, Burbank, California.
Caught me with my mouth full again. Anyway, I'm Katrina McCurdy. I love to eat. They caught me last night with lettuce or something. Anyway, Katrina McCurdy from the Alameda County chapter. Anyway,
You're done at that table? Okay. My name is David Jackson, and I am the co-chair of the membership committee and belong to the San Francisco CCB chapter. And to my right is?
Kind of feels like a DJ. hi, this is Alice McGrath, and I am a member of the Silicon Valley chapter, and I am on the membership committee.
Hi, I'm Marlena Lieberg, and I am from Seattle, and I'm here as the ACB rep. I am the secretary for the National ACB Board.
I'm Preston Moses. I'm recording secretary for Alameda Chapter. I'm also a member of Bayview Chapter. And Katrina, you forgot to mention you're president of our chapter, too.
My name is Anita March, and I think this is the first two people from Livermore, California. That's my home, but I'm a very willing and happy member of the San Francisco chapter.
I'm David Mandel, and I'm recording secretary for San Francisco chapter and chair of PR committee for Bayview chapter.
I'm Margaret Buckman Garcia from the Yosemite Gateway Council of the Blind.
Is that all from that table?
Okay. I'm Lori Kastner, and I'm a member of Bayview Chapter, and I'm on the Public Relations Committee. I guess that's about it.
Boy, great. I forgot that she's program chairman, and that's I call that one of the more important offices we have. I'm Mike Kastner, and I'm president of Bayview Chapter.
Great, great. A lot of Bayview people here. Wow. Okay, that's it for that table. Okay, we'll go to this table now.
Someone want this microphone?
I'm Anthony Signorello, and I am a member and membership chair of the Glendale Burbank Chapter.
Jim Chamberlain from North Hollywood, Burbank Glendale Group.
I'm Charlotte Cridell from the Bayview Chapter.
Hey, Charlotte!
Candy Lady!
May I be with you?
No. Huh? Pass the mic.
Yeah, I'm with her. This is Marilyn, her daughter.
Hello, my... Hello, my name is Monique McCorley from the San Diego Braille Club chapter, vice president.
Okay, did we miss anyone? Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm an artist from the, I'm president of the Glendale Burbank chapter, and I'm also the chair of the membership committee. We actually wanted to do a brainstorming session today for the most part. One of the things that we've been talking about in the membership committee is how we can best help chapters and affiliates. I know we contact affiliates that are having trouble and chapters that are having trouble in certain ways, or they have a new president that doesn't have a clue, or, you know, just any kind of situation, we try to help people. But let's face it, all chapters from time to time have problems getting new members. And so we are here to facilitate with helping you to know how to get new members, where to look, et cetera, and how to promote your chapter, et cetera. And so basically we decided we wanted to have a session where you could give us ideas on what would best help you. And we understand each chapter is different, so what might help one chapter might not be of interest to another chapter, and that's fine. But we just kind of wanted to get your ideas and also give you some information. One of the things I wanted to make sure you all were aware of are, did you all know that there's a membership email list? That's an email list where we like to have at least two people from each chapter signed up to that list. And we're going to be utilizing that list more to send out information on ideas for membership, how you can find members, how you can retain members, how you can inspire members, or just whatever help we can get. And so we're trying to get as many people and as many chapters signed up to that email list. So if you're not sure if your chapter is signed up, please contact me, and I can let you know if there's a member or two from your chapter. And if we just have one, we're glad to have another one or two to join our email list. Another thing, we're not always sure if all of the membership knows about the membership incentive awards. We have two membership incentive awards every spring. One is for the chapter who gains the most in numbers of membership, and the other one is for the chapter who has the most, the highest percentage of growth. And we do that every spring. We also have a Chapter of the Year award, which we haven't given out. We didn't give it out last year, and we're not giving it out again this year. And we'd like to see applications come in for that. What it is any chapter that does an activity with the using the bulk of the membership to get involved in that particular activity, whether it be pedestrian signals, whether it be maybe some bus routes were discontinued and you worked as an effort as a group to get it back on, whether it's some kind of promoting, a new contest, a new a project, whatever it is. We encourage chapters to do that, to go together and do a project and then submit in a letter to CCB of why you should be the Chapter of the Year. And we really want to encourage that a little more because there were, a few years ago, we had years where we had 4 to 6 people sending in letters, but the last couple we haven't had any, so we really want to encourage that. And unfortunately, it seems like we have 2 or 3 chapters that are very well represented here, but we have many that aren't here at all. So we'll put an article in the Blind Californian outlining that, pushing that a little bit more too. So
may I break in just really quickly with that? I would like to see more chapters come to this kind of breakfast, because the more chapters that come to this breakfast, the more ideas we can get. And that's what this is all about. The more ideas that we can get, the better chapters can promote themselves and therefore inspire more folks.
We'll have to try to see if we can get a sponsorship maybe for a breakfast so we can have it a lower fee, because the thing I've heard from folks is, you know, it's a pretty high price to pay for breakfast, and a lot of our chapters don't have that many extra funds, so I suspect that's, you know, one of the reasons. So we'll try to think of some ways where we can get the cost of the breakfast down a little bit so maybe we can get more participation. Of course, it could be the early morning hour. I did have, I actually had two people suggest yesterday that we do a luncheon instead. And the only issue there is then, of course, any chapters that do have a luncheon, then obviously we'd miss, you know, their members coming to the membership breakfast. I mean, the membership luncheon. But what do you all think about that idea? Do you think that would encourage people, or do you think it would might hamper some from coming, or what's your thoughts?
I would have a question on that.
Sure, go ahead.
This is Preston.
Okay, hey, you want to talk on the mic?
Sure.
It has been, it's being recorded, so.
Yeah, this is Preston from Alameda Baby. My question on that is, what about conflicts with, say, the you know, the OCB luncheon and guide dog, or different other luncheons that are already happening? Would that be, that might be a question to consider?
Yeah, that was my thought immediately when I heard it. That was my thought. The question would be, is would it help us more or hurt us more? And I guess, what do most of you think? You have any idea? Have you heard people complaining? I only go by what people come up to me and tell me. So I heard from two people that they'd be much more likely to come if it was a luncheon. Have any others of you heard comments on? Yes, Judy?
Sure. Here we go.
Anytime we have any event, you know, there are going to be conflicts, because there's always going to be, you know, another event at the same time. There may be, you know, we may be able to combine if a luncheon looks like it's low. Also, with luncheon, you're looking for people who are just looking for lunch. And so you have a lot of, but stuff, but the truth is they're all members. So that, you know, if a lunch spot opens up, you know, and it might, you know, that would be a possibility. We might look at that more advantageously. But you know what else we might consider is a Thursday workshop. People want to go to technology. People want to go to rehab. But a Thursday afternoon workshop might bring people in. And certainly not everybody, you know, I could miss technology if I thought there was a membership meeting that was going on. And, you know, I think people could spare, you know, one member from their chapter. So we might think of a Thursday afternoon slot. And especially maybe from, say, CCLV always has a slot at 4 on Thursday. But, you know, we might have a slot, say, from 4 to 5:15 on Thursday. 4 to 5:30, I mean. That's just my thought.
I'm getting, on this table, I'm getting murmurs of affirmation with that, so it's a good idea, yeah.
How many of you in here were here Thursday afternoon? So for the group that's here, that would be fine. I know we've tried on Friday afternoon already at 4:15, and that did not work because there's too many committee meetings.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that didn't work at all. So, but the Thursday afternoon, there's just the two. But like you said, that I don't know how many people could make it early enough if we'd have a, you know, like 11 o'clock, so we'd have it before technology. I don't know. That's probably too early.
Yeah.
Or even 3, or maybe 3 o'clock, because if the board has another executive session at 5:30, that can, so maybe. Well, we'll investigate it. Maybe we'll put out a question to folks to let us know what they thought about a Thursday at 3 o'clock. Then it wouldn't cost people anything. So, because, you know, these breakfasts are expensive. Of course, the downside about not doing a luncheon or breakfast is it'll pull the numbers down for our food, which, you know, we need to obviously keep up that. So I'll tell you what, I'll talk to Donna, and then I'll put out a question to folks, and then we'll explore possible alternate time slots and see if that helps. Somebody mentioned starting the breakfast at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. The only thing that would hurt, we'd have to make sure we got out of here, you know, like 5 to 9 in order
people
to go to their different sessions. 7:30, yeah, that's another possibility.
I'm not
I think the $25 is more the issue than the earliness of the hour, to be honest with you. So maybe we can explore some other avenues to maybe get breakfast costs down by seeing if we can get a sponsor or looking at a time slot where we don't have a meal. But I'll talk to Donna and see how much difference that would make with the meal problem, because we don't want to have CCB have any budget issues either with, you know, by not having a meal function. So, okay, just a second. I'll be right over there. Yeah, I'm coming. Okay, here we go, Anthony.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I got the microphone. I was thinking about this afternoon thing. Artis was mentioning that the thing is that it is part of it is a fundraiser, and I was thinking, well, it doesn't need to be a breakfast or a luncheon. It could be some kind of like a tea or something, which would be the cost would come down a little bit on it. Yet we could raise a little bit of money on it as well. So that's an idea.
Oh, like snack time or something, so there would be a little cost, but not as much. Okay, well, I'm not sure what the sometimes any kind of a function where you have to have stuff brought in, it's hard to say how much cheaper it would be. And somebody just came in late, and who is this?
Joseph Lopez.
Tell us what chapter you're from.
I'm from the San Diego Bro Club. I live in Santa Barbara, California. And I think it, you know, also fundraising, I don't know if you folks have ever done it before. In my lifetime, I have done a bowl-a-thon to raise money for the Braille Institute up in Santa Barbara to try to help out. And so if there's any good bowlers in here, why, that could happen too. There you go.
She said you're supposed to go to the fundraising committee this afternoon and tell them that thought. Well, I think he was talking about fundraising to get so people could get a free breakfast for the membership meeting. Okay.
Artis?
Yes.
It's David here. A quick comment and a question.
Do you have the mic?
Yes, I do. Okay. I was wondering if it might be possible to ask each chapter to select at least one person to come to the breakfast and pay for it. I mean, $25 should not be a big deal.
Well, we did. We put that in the program and the announcement. Okay, we specifically said, please have each chapter send at least one member to it. But as you see, we don't have one.
So maybe it means that some of us need to take responsibility and call chapter presidents or email and make sure that that happens. That's just a suggestion.
Yeah, because we just put out a couple announcements. Right. Maybe we got to send out an announcement every couple of days.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, you can't do that. No. I know. And the other question is, you've written some marvelous articles, many marvelous articles on membership in the forum. And I was wondering, isn't there a membership handbook?
There is a, what we have in CCB is we have an organizational handbook, which each chapter should have a copy of it, which kind of gives the ins and outs for developing a chapter, membership growth, et cetera, the whole realm of things in a chapter. We also have a new members brochure. It's a smaller thing. It basically tells about CCB, what CCB is all about, and then lists all the current chapters and affiliates in it. And those are two main ones. Plus, we have a president's manual also, which each new president should get a copy of that. And that's another thing we should publicize a little more. And I think the problem is the publications committee, a couple of years ago, they said they wanted to revise it, so we really didn't want to mention it, but it hasn't been so far. So I'll talk to Donna about that, because I want to know what the status is of that, because I do think we should use our publications a little bit more. Yes, Judy?
I realize this is being recorded, and I'm one of those people who always says, I have a loud voice, but I realize the recording can't hear that. But anyway, we are, it's like everything can happen day after tomorrow, but not today, because we're backlogged with getting new content and up on our website. But it's in the sights of the publications committee, certainly, to get all of those documents back up and in revised form by the end of this year, certainly.
Just really quickly, if anybody does want that president's manual, I do have that, and I can get that out to you as quickly as I get a request.
I have it as an attachment as well. In fact, I have all three documents.
Right.
So if you want them in its current form, you can ask us, and we can get it to you. Just realize that there might be changes. Not massive, but.
So I'm on a number of the listservs. So there's not a chance that you can miss me. So
okay.
Feel free to contact me. Yes. Or artists.
Right, that's right. Either one of us are available whenever. And by phone. Okay, now let's get to the main topic. What ideas do you have that you would like to share with us of ways that you think our membership committee could best help your chapter or affiliate? Or if you know of another chapter that needs help, what ways could we best assist you? Obviously, right now we just have 6 committee members. We're down to 4. We had 2 people resign, but we just had 2 commit this last week. So we have 6 members on our committee. And we're looking for other members. If you know of people that are real interested in growing members or have been working hard in their chapter, please contact them and let them call me or call Donna and let us know they'd be interested in serving on this committee, because the more members we have in our committee, the more we can help folks out. Okay, who would like to be first?
Sure.
My thought is, again, if we had a workshop, say, either during the convention or whatever, and brought in people from CCLV, Redwood Empire, Capital Chapter, our, 3 biggest chapters, and see how they get memberships. Now, a lot of those are in densely populated areas. But, I heard there are many, many chapters with 12, 14. So membership problem, we're not, there's a little cynical part of me that says, if we haven't thought of it yet, what are we going to say this morning that's frankly going to magically have us all go home and recruit members? We've heard it. In fact, I think people are tired of hearing it, go to your local campuses, go to the local disabled students organizations. I sort of think we need to package the material, say it differently, have a pizzazzy little presentation, maybe again from Billet, as here are your top chapters, how do they get members? Something like that. And even if we just if we can't change the breakfast, have that as our next time. I know that's postponing, but part of me just says, been there, done that, and we just need to kind of pizzazz it up again.
Thank you. Do you think of specific things that you think the membership committee could tell presidents or ask presidents to get them more inspired to try to make more efforts? Because I know there's many chapters that do not contact their campuses, do not go out to community organizations and try to get new members. Do you think it would be helpful if we would perhaps have a letter drafted? I know we have a letter that we use to send to campuses, to like DSS offices, and then we follow up. Our membership chair follows up with a call to see, if the personnel has sent the letter to visually impaired people. Do you think that would be beneficial if we, circulate letters that have been used in the past to chapters that haven't done it? Okay. Judy says yes.
Sure.
Okay, that's a good idea.
You know, what I was thinking of is that we have three of those documents, and I was thinking, but this is David. I was thinking that the little brochure that we have, if we had chapters, and we had a if the membership committee chair for that chapter were to contact the office and just ask for maybe a handful a handful of those, and gave them out to interested people who would be willing just to go into the community and to disseminate those. It could be anywhere. It could be at the store. It doesn't necessarily have to be at the doctor's office. It could be at church. It could be at your bank. Just drop them off. Just say, hi, I'm a member, and if there's anybody that you might be aware of who has a vision issue, here's a brochure, and this is our contact information. I'm trying to think of things that are portable and things that are very simple.
In L.A., a few years ago, I made a simple flyer. It's just a one-page flyer, and I took some of the main things that CCB does, and on one side of the we had it was a flyer that had ACB does this and CCB does this. So it tells about the American Council of the Blind and it tells about the California Council of the Blind. And it basically just has several things that they do. In other words, conventions, local chapters. We talk about ACB radio, a crisis fund, different things that the organization does. And then we had the local presidents with the phone number in L.A. County. So there's 6 chapters in L.A. County. So that way, if they weren't in our area, but we ran across them, like in Access Services, or if we ran across them at there's senior centers are great places to find new blind people. Although a lot of times you don't want to talk about, you want to talk about, say, visually impaired, because some of them are sensitive to being called blind. But there's a lot of places where you can meet people, and if you just have a simple flyer that you keep tucked in your bag or whatever, you can pull it out and give it to people with contact information.
I don't mean to break in, but I just want to continue on that. I know that there are people in here who belong to churches, so you could take them to the rectory and drop those off, drop that off, or wherever your church meets, perhaps you meet after church and have the social. You could do that as well. So that's just off the top of my head. So if any.
Okay, go ahead. Let me get a mic too.
I have a mic.
Okay.
Well, I have a mic. this is Alice. I think one of the things that sometimes gets lost is why it is that people want to belong to CCB. So it's not really. I think the secondary aspect of what we do is always interesting and it's helpful. But what we find why people come to our chapter meetings is because they're newly blind or they want to know other people that are in a similar situation. And they want to be part of a community. The C, we really try to emphasize the community aspect of it. And then involvement and what we do and how they can get involved happens. But one of the main sources why we keep on getting new members is there are 2 agencies for the blind that are near us, Vista Center and Santa Clara Valley Blind Center. And people go to those agencies for services. And we get probably about 2 members a month referred from those agencies, because they're in support groups and they're wanting to get more connected to a community. And then as soon as they come in, one of the social workers will let us know that they're coming. And then it's that feeling of being welcomed that has them, come back. So just, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, very important. I know when I talk to people about CCB or the American Council of the Blind, that's the first thing I say is I joined it because of its networking ability. So I could find other blind people to ask questions when I had an advocacy issue or whether I had a technology issue or whatever. Those other blind contacts are very helpful. And I do agree that sometimes that's paramount to just getting them to come to CCB because we want more members in our chapter. We have to look at it from their point of view. Why would they want to come to our chapter? Now, one of the things I've done personally is anytime I meet somebody, I try to get their email address and phone number. And even if they're not interested in being a member at the time, I ask them if I can send them information or put them on my email list. So I just send them information. And sometimes it might take a couple of years of them receiving information, and then they finally decide, you know, I've really found this information helpful. I think I'm going to go visit that chapter. And sometimes it's not an immediate thing. You might have to talk to someone several times before they see the need or the want to come to a chapter. But are there other ideas that you'd like to give to us that we can pass on to membership or other ways that we can help specific chapters?
Hi, this is Margaret from Merced. I just wanted to add one thing, piggybacking on yours, because I think that's part of where we get our membership from, is from the center that we developed in Merced and people wanting to belong to a community. And there's another faction, is those people that don't come to regular meetings but want to support us. And they support us through their membership. They will contact us when they need things. Some of them are in assisted living facilities. And I think what we got to a point where we were all worried, oh, all 20 people aren't showing up for meetings. But then when we interviewed them and spoke with them, you know, getting 45 minutes away from us, you know, to downtown, you know, from Los Banos to Merced, it's a 45-minute bus ride that only goes twice a day. But they still want to belong. And so we do have a significant number of people that come from that faction, that they just want to feel connected. They want the information. They like getting the Blind Californian. You know, they like being connected, and that's what's kept them paying their dues every month, you know, every year. The other piece of that is I want to piggyback on the seniors, because probably 85% of our people are seniors that are members. It's hard to get those students to come to our things. You know, they're involved in so many other things, and we don't have that many that are at our students yet. There's only one at UC Merced, you know, and three or four at the local community college. But our seniors and connecting with the Senior Center and ARP and Seniors Inc. and things like that, that's where we're getting a bulk of them also.
That kind of reminded me of one of the things that we're talking about doing. We have a number of at-large members who don't live close to chapters, but really would like to feel more involved in CCB. So one of the things we're exploring is possibly having a membership call maybe a couple times a year where we can get people to come in and participate that aren't involved in a local chapter, but would like to, you know, talk to other people occasionally besides just waiting for convention.
Or yeah, we're exploring
afford,
the use of...
Or they can't afford to go to conventions.
I was going to say, we're exploring using Skype and some things like that to outreach to out people so that those people that do have a computer with a camera can be connected with us at our meetings. So, I mean, we're looking at different ways because we are a very spread out community.
So do you think that's a way that some of the members might be interested in that idea? Okay.
I just, a member at large just called me the other day because she just signed up and she wanted to know about writing. And so Ed, you know, gave her my number. And she lives up in Wairika. And, you know, I told her, I tried to get her to come to the convention. But, and, you know, she said something very interesting. She said, you know, I've been sort of visually impaired, partially visually impaired most of my life, but just kind of lost more of my sight, and I'd be terrified. I said, so bring your husband, you know, we'll show you how to get around. Anyway, blah. The thing is, we might also want to use one of our call-in numbers and have somebody at your meet at our meetings, just with a phone. You know, if they could call that person and you know, put them on a speaker. Skype is great for people with computers, but remember, lots of our folks still don't have that access. And I think your phone idea, call-in, is great. Let's think of a way of maybe still using some landline phone numbers here.
Oh yeah.
I have a sister who lives, my sister Gretchen, lives in Rancho Cucamonga. Yes, it really is. It really is. Right next door to, I can't think of that big city there where the airport is. I cannot think of it. My age is showing. Ontario, right next to Ontario. Anyway, she's been suffering with glaucoma lately. It's been getting worse, and she's threatened with the possibility of losing all of her vision and are trying to save it if they can, and so on and so forth. She's been blind all of her life, like me, and she ought to be in one of our groups, but I don't know what group it is, what chapter it is would be in Rancho Cucamonga. Which one would it be? San Bernardino, yeah. Yeah, anyway, I'm wondering, I have to ask her about, see about that.
Yeah, I could check when I get home and let you know which ones would be closest to there. I know I've gotten several calls from people from Santa Clarita or out in that area, Valencia, and we don't have a chapter in that area. And we've got one of our members is actually from Santa Clarita, but she's just come to one meeting so far. But she joined, but she likes getting the emails, but she can't always come to the meetings because it's kind of far. And I've gotten calls from people that don't want to take the time to come that far. I mean, they could come that far on access, but a lot of people don't want to spend an hour and a half on paratransit to go to a meeting. And so I think that's an issue we have, too. People, it's not that they don't have access to transportation to come, but, you know, a lot of times people don't want to have to spend. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I know that's kind of an issue, too. So I think the conference call maybe a couple times a year to just allow people who, you know, don't have a chance to participate in local chapters, I think that probably would work for some of those kind of folks. Other ideas on things that the membership committee could specifically address that we haven't been addressing?
I have a little comment.
Go for it.
I'm getting the mic.
Hi, this is Anita. I think the biggest thing that I think about, because I go from Livermore to San Francisco on paratransit for my meeting, and what draws me is the San Francisco chapter, their activities, their interests, there's interesting people. We have our Alice Chavez Pardini, where we give a complete, yay, good Judy, thank you. But we give a complete computer system to a deserving student. And that really intrigued me, and it's worth the 2.5-hour commute to get to San Francisco to go to my meeting. And also the activities. We went to Chevy's, and we got money for it. You know, they give us a percentage. So I can't say enough about having an interesting chapter to draw people. And also, when I had my guide dog, people always wanted to know about the guide dog, and they wanted to know about what I could see or couldn't see. So I would give them information about, you know, if you want to know more, come to CCB. And it's so important to have a flyer or something you can give them because they're suffering, possibly a family member, or they, with their vision loss. And also, even with my cane, good Lord, I was in the bathroom last night, and a woman wanted to know about my cane and what I could see or couldn't see. So I told them about CCB. And in Livermore, we have wine festivals, and if you go anywhere, people want to know. And so it's so important to have the information and have an interesting, vital chapter going. Thank you.
I totally agree. And I think it's real important for chapters to have outside speakers. I know we try to get one every month, except maybe one or two a year when we want to do specifically chapter-related information. But I do think it draws people. It helps people come back, and it's real important. And that's one of the reasons we're trying to get the membership email list active, because then I think if different chapters share the different speakers they've had and which ones seem to be really popular, then another chapter could use those ideas for their chapter.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
This is Preston from Alameda and Bayview. We've been discussing our chapter. Bayview chapter has been discussing the idea of having around somewhere around November a night where we would be in like either a restaurant, like say I think it was Pizza Kitchen, I think Chevy's was one of them, and try to raise money as a possibility in that particular way. I know Judy was talking about that, and so we were discussing that on our phone conference call and fundraising to where a certain percentage would go to the chapter, and other people, people would buy, just when they buy there and everything, the public and everything, like a Tuesday night or something like that. So we were discussing that.
No, that's a good idea. I know our Glendale Burbank chapter does that too. We go to the Pizza Kitchen, the California Pizza Kitchen. We've gone to, we've gone to different restaurants to do that. Yeah.
Artist, it's David. A couple of things that I wanted to mention. I think regional ties, regional work is very important, and I would like to see, for instance, up here, more of our chapters working together, because we just don't. And also getting together for social occasions, and I think that would spur more people in the community in general to come. The other thing is, a lot of people ask me, and I try to carry around CCB brochures, but a lot of chapters don't have their own brochures. What do they do locally? And a lot of people ask me, well, what's in it for me? If I join, what are the benefits that I get? And I think we don't stress that enough. And one of the things that I was impressed with last night is that we finally have a social security advocacy group. And I, things that really go to the heart of the matter. If you're having a problem, yeah, you can come to the CCB and they'll really help you. And I think that's really good because a lot of people are truly in need. We have a very large low-vision group at the North Berkeley Senior Center, so I want to get a bunch of CCB brochures and just plaster it, plaster that senior center, and get them to come, because I think if they knew that they could come to Bayview or whatever, and that Bayview was there to help them in some way, I think they'd be interested. But I think regional meeting, get-togethers, and also regional working on regional projects would really boost the community spirit. And finally, I want to say that I think that Silicon Valley, Redwood Empire, they have an advantage over chapters like San Francisco and Bayview, because we have people from all over the place joining our chapters, whereas in the Redwood Empire and Santa Clara Valley, they have people mostly from those areas, so they can do a lot of local advocacy in those areas. So it's much easier to target particular efforts. So I think they have an advantage in some ways. Yeah. Oh, yes.
That is a plus.
Well, one of the things that a lot of times chapters look at trying to just get younger members. But there's actually lots more older members out there we could be getting going to a senior center. I recently learned about a Braille club at the Senior Center in Burbank, and someone invited me to come there. Now it's during the day, so it's harder for me to get to because I work, but I think if we talk to some of our members to get them involved in just visiting different senior centers, or maybe doing a little thing at the local senior center, offer to do a program there to talk about low-tech in high-tech solutions for people who are losing their sight. If we'd offer to do that, I'm sure most of those centers would be glad to have a program that we'd offer to them. So some of those kind of things you might think about, too.
Artis, I just want to add on to that. AARP usually has an annual health fair, and that's where we always set up a booth, and we always get new members from that. because there's always people think, oh, losing sight is part of old age, and they don't realize that there's a lot of help out there for them and support.
Do they list them on the website where they're having them? Do you know?
I just contact our local group and say, when are you having it? And now they're at a point where they just contact us every year. They usually do it in the fall.
What about putting that in the Biden Californian and Braille form, that kind of thing? Yeah. You know, letting people know that information.
Okay, well, I just wrote it down, so it'll be in the next article for the membership. I'm taking notes here.
And I've gotten more people at health fairs than I have at community events. For some reason, like, we'll go to the bike fest and set up a table, and most of the people there, they may know a grandma or something, but when you go to a health fair, it seems like people who have real issues are there more and are looking for support.
Yeah, and there are community fairs. A lot of communities have those once a year where different organizations can set up booths and stuff.
I'm going to try for a county fair this year.
So. That's great. That's great.
That's
a good idea. Yeah, we should encourage chapters to do that more, participate in that. I know we did a few years ago, we did a couple, and we got quite a few people that were interested. I know the Braille Institute, once a year, they allow vendors to come in. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't hear about it to the last minute, so can't always do it. But those are real important to get involved in, yeah. Okay, well, unless there's any last minute, I think I'll let you go because I know people have meetings to go to, so I don't want to keep you from being able to go to the meetings you want to go to. But if you have any ideas later, please share them with me and I could post them on the email list. Or if you're not on the email list or your chapter's not on there, please get me your email address and let me know of your interest and I'll make sure you get added to that email list. Because sharing these ideas are great. And, of course, I like to share them in the Blind Californian, too. So if you have ideas, please let us know. Or contact me or David. Both of us are accessible. And we'll be around the rest of the weekend. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much for coming, folks.